Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pickett's Points, brought to you by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. On the day that the... What do you call someone who's not a lead singer, but they sing in a band? Background singer?
No, I mean, Christine McVie was one of the... like
co-lead singers?
One of the main members of Fleetwood Mac, and she also did a lot of the songwriting, I believe.
R.I.P., she passed away, but she's not... Stevie... Or was she the lead singer and then Stevie Nicks came and
aware,
took that away
Are you
from
at all
her?
Aware of the history of Fleetwood Mac at all?
Just Did for they all 30, date each other?
Well, yes, and Rumors was basically one giant album about how they were all sleeping together and then like having huge problems, but they started out as like a super intense bluesy band kind of thing.
But
like,
then they popped it up to make dough?
Well, Peter Green was their lead singer. He did like true blues rock. Then they got Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks in the mix. Then they went crazy, but Christine McVie would sing on that. You love Little Lies.
I didn't say I loved it. I liked
you
the song.
You love that song.
You hate it.
I'm not on that big Fleetwood Mac like huge streaming
it
album.
Made
I
the
have,
greatest hits album.
Yeah, I know.
It's
I have
there.
That. I play I that thing all the time.
I don't
but
skip
I don't
it.
Play that song. But that song right there, that's a banger.
The Hawk Report with Jeff Hathorn, our award-winning Steelers reporter, coming up in a few minutes. You're also going to hear from Mike Sullivan and Ron Hextall on the news of the day in Pittsburgh sports. Chris Letang suffered a second stroke on Monday. The coach and GM of the Penguins addressed it a short time ago. You'll hear some of those clips. The theme of Pickett's points today is the idea that he is obsessed with repetition. Kenny Pickett is a believer that in order to be good at something, or to you have to do it a lot, like a ton. So, you know, he almost, I thought, in those answers that we just played, you could take it, I think, a couple of ways. Number one, it helps explain why he didn't look so good in his first handful of games, or looked so maybe average, or didn't really blow anybody away. Even me did not, like, knock my socks off. But he also described it in a way already where he's making it seem like he's got everything down pat. He's got everything now close to mastered. He's figuring out the NFL game, which...
I need to see something very specific if that's actually
okay,
true.
Okay, so that's true. Like, let's see some...
downfield shots, like him working in the middle of the field aggressively, because he still looks like a guy who is, I'll rather pull it and run than really let it rip down the middle of the field, where there are people there who might get a hand on it.
Well, I just thought he sounded like a guy who was letting Steelers media know today that the light bulb has gone on for him, that he's had his NFL quarterback eureka moment.
Well, I think
and we saw it play out against the Colts.
I think he looked more comfortable against Indy, comfortable and confident than he's looked all year.
I mean, here is his answer on this was sent back to us. The label of this clip was earlier in the year, I had bad interception luck.
I think it's the gradual progressions. You know, we had some things not go our way with tip balls, and you know, one of Miami Chase got his feet tangled up, the Hail Mary and the Jets. Like, so there were some things I think that added to that, but it's also being smart with the football, putting ourselves in positions to win, and not putting our defense in bad situations, giving up turnovers. So that's really been the focus. You know,
so a little bit of that answer is, take it easy, it was not as bad as the numbers made me out to be in my first handful of starts. Don't throw that 8 interception number in my face because there were fluky bad luck things that happened on a lot of those plays.
Fair enough. Can I throw the 3 touchdown number a little bit in his face? Or do I have to account for the rushing touchdowns
here?
Then
he called the Benny Snell. He brought that up again today.
I need to see a lot more touchdown throws. It's nice to not turn the ball over, to not put the ball at risk nearly as much, to feel like you are really starting to, quote, get it. So show me. Way more shots that are effective down the field, and it looks... I always say this. When I feel like somebody's got it in football or in other sports, but especially football with a QB, It's because I think they are dictating terms to the defense, not the other way around.
He, I think, wants to throw those touchdown passes to George Pickens more than anybody else. And this is Kenny saying, I'm working with Pickens to be that number one wide receiver.
You know, it shows up in the big time moments, right? I think it's, you know, knowing he knows where I need him to be. You know, I know he's going to get to where he needs to be. And then I meet him there with the ball. And those big time moments, those timing routes, you know, sometimes you're throwing guys open and you know, they may not look open to the naked eye. But with the reps and the confidence that I have that they're going to be where I want them to be. And, you know, they know that they're going to get the football. It kind of comes together that way. And, I mean, I was able to build that with Jordan Addison at Pitt, the countless hours that we worked together. That all adds to it. So, you know, we're trying to play catch up here with in-between periods and working on getting that. I think we're definitely taking the right steps towards that. But, you know, it takes time and a lot of reps together.
Still throwing a little shade about not having gotten any of those reps in the preseason.
Yes, he
or
is.
Training camp. Just a bit of shade. I mean, the implicit there is, if you had let me have a real competition, this team might be more close to the playoffs because I would have been better.
I'd be further along.
I'd be better. Maybe I would have just won the job.
And not only that, I just don't get the impression that Pickett believes Johnson is better than Pickens.
Why should he? Pickens is better.
Well, because one guy's making $18 million and he's gone to the Pro Bowl.
So?
So usually rookies, I think, kind of acquiesce or kind of just...
George Pickens shouldn't in this case.
No, I'm not. It's just the Steelers made a commitment to Deontay Johnson, I think with the forethought, that he was going to bring along or help bring along a rookie quarterback.
Well,
that he would be the right security blanket type wide receiver. He's always open. You know, when in doubt, throw to Deontay Johnson. He's going to be the guy that probably doesn't have to make a complicated play or spectacular play because he's always open.
Makes sense to me, though, that if you're more confident in the offense and what you're being asked to do, you're not going to look to the guy who's always open. It also would make perfect sense to me if he'd look at the 6'3 freak with a crazy catch radius and say, yeah, that guy's better than the dude who's like 5'10 and he's always open, but he usually runs backwards once I throw him the ball and he catches it.
And dropping touchdowns. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really think that based on what we've seen from Deontay Johnson this year, any quarterback would be like, ooh, yeah, that's my number one target.
He's 106th in yards per catch is Deontay Johnson. But remember, he is having a great year.
Having a great year to me. I mean, obviously my stats not showing it, but, you know, just being trying to be a better leader, you know, just not trying to play for self, trying to be a team player at the end of the day. My opportunity is going to come, you know, my play is going to come. I may not be getting the ball like I want to right now, but I just got to keep playing. Something's going to happen either this or next or whatnot, but I'm not worried about my stats right now. I'm just trying to win the game and finish the season strong.
I don't know if something's going to happen this year or next year where he catapults or leapfrogs his way back ahead of Pickens.
Hold on, I'm trying to
find... Kenny's talking about Kenny Pickens as the Jordan Addison Steelers receiver,
guy. Well, here's the only thing that could happen. I guess Pickett and Johnson develop more of a rapport. Now, George Pickens ranks 143rd on this list of 146 eligible receivers. Deontay Johnson is second to last in yards after the catch. That is especially...
Who's underneath him?
Scotty Miller in Tampa. But it is especially supposed to be Deontay Johnson's bread and butter that he catches the ball and then makes people miss. Pickens, if he's going down the field, I don't care as much about the yards after catch. If he's catching 135 yards past the line of scrimmage, 2 yards. 2 yards after catch on average. 2.
Well, it was originally 4, but then he ran back 2 yards on every play, which brought it back to 2. Those reverse yards.
Who do you think is the highest ranking?
Yards.
Who do you think? What wide receiver? Let's see how good you are. What wide receiver, either one of you in the league, because it's 7 running backs / tight ends who have the top spots in this.
Mm-hmm.
The 8th ranked player in average yards after the catch is a wide receiver, first one on the list. Who do you guys think it is?
Is it that Irwin guy from the Bengals?
No, Donnie. Yards after catch, wide receiver, leading the league among wide receivers.
It's not the Joe Dirt guy from the Bengals, Irwin?
Come on. You can do it, Donnie.
No, he can't.
Who kicks ass after the catch when they catch the ball? Who's a wild dog off the leash?
Gunnar Olszewski?
So close.
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts, a lot of names in my head.
Well, we're asking
Tyreek
you for one.
Hill's the answer.
No, it's not.
No?
No.
Is it Waddle?
Debo.
Mm. By the way, isn't there Pitt breaking news?
There is.
What happened?
Kalijah Kancey has been named the ACC Defensive Player of the Year.
I'd like to point out that several months ago, we were at Pitt's facility for a broadcast, and we sat down and interviewed Kalijah Kancey.
Uh-huh. So if you go
Kalijah,
to Pitt,
I tip my hat to you.
If you go to Pitt and you talk to us, you either win Defensive Player of the Year or you become a Heisman finalist and first-round pick.
Second consecutive year.
Should we expect Kalijah Kancey to go in the first round?
Shouldn't I think his projection now is second? Like day two.
Shouldn't Aaron Donald, though, have like paved the way for undersized, in the traditional sense, defensive linemen from Pitt?
Aaron Donald going to miss his first game due to injury on Sunday.
High ankle. God, that
first
team is
game.
How worth it is it? Can I do a very quick hypothetical with you? They chased the title and they got it, and
worth
they
it.
Sacrificed a bunch.
Worth it.
What if they're horrible for 5 years?
Worth it.
See, I disagree with that. I think you're lying. It's easy to say worth it,
worth
just
it.
Like it's easy to say I want my team to tank. I think this business, I think being a fan is as much or more about the year-to-year chase and feeling like your team is relevant and in the mix than it is getting one title and then possibly just collapsing like a cheap house of cards, which they might well do.
So you'd rather lose in the first round of the playoffs every year?
No, I'm saying that I think more – if fans are saying, hey, it was so worth it that we got this one title, if we have 5 or 6 years of suck, I'll always remember that title. You will not. You'll be 2 years into that horrifying rebuild, and you will be miserable, and that title won't have meant jack squat to you in the end.
I'm guessing it's going to mean more than jack squat.
I disagree.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A potpourri of thoughts on Najee Harris and the Steelers' backfield. We got a little more clarity today with the practice report the Steelers published. Najee, an oblique injury, did not practice. Jaylen Warren was out there practicing. We know that because the report says he was limited. And Jeff Hathorn, our award-winning reporter, was able to shoot some video that we posted to 93.7thefan.com of Warren taking handoffs from Kenny Pickett. It's now time for the Hawk Report, brought to you by Voke Energy Tablets. Clear thinking, mental focus, and good mood with Jeff. When did you get the Hawk nickname, Jeff? What is the genesis? Why does the write-up in the copy here say Hawk Report?
Yeah, it started back on the, you know, OG KDKA, and our production director just started that nickname out of the blue, and Greg Brown took a hold of it, and then it really took off.
Yeah,
once Greg Brown gets a hold of it.
Yeah.
But what is it about you that makes you hawk-like, that brought about the hawk
nickname? Tall,
lanky,
graceful.
Do you have bird-like facial features?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone had, they had asked me about nicknames. You can never give yourself a nickname, or even if you repeat one that you had in college, it's got to be organic. And this kind of, I guess because of the H's, it just kind of came up. And like I said, when Brownie gets a hold of it, it's over.
Jeff, now do you like the Hawk nickname? Because I remember when Josh Miller tried to staple mutton to me.
You hated that.
Stupid nickname. Always sucked. If Josh is listening right now because it was technically his idea, sorry, Josh, that one was a dog. I'm fine with Mulsey. Do you like Hawk?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, there's a lot worse. And here's the thing with nicknames, too. If you hate it, then they're just going to keep calling you that more. I mean, you know how that works. So.
All right, so Ian Rappaport said there, Steelers dodge a long-term bullet with Najee Harris, but we won't know for a couple more days if he's going to be available to play in Atlanta. Is that your read on the situation, Jeff, from being down there today?
Yeah, and that's the thought because, I mean, he wasn't a part at all of practice. So now he's been around long enough that he could step in, even in his second year, and practice a good practice on Friday and at least be questionable. But it seems like they've been a little bit more cautious with the number of their players. I mean, Warren kind of hinted that he might have been able to fight through the injury last week, but they decided to be. Imagine they wouldn't be cautious with Najee Harris, at least as much as they would with Jaylen Warren. I think at this point it's probably pretty doubtful. See what happens tomorrow and Friday.
Jeff, do you think that there's any regret on their part about, like, just organizationally the way they've handled Najee Harris's injury situations, plural, all year, the way they handled things with the Liz Frank, the steel plate, et cetera?
At least not outwardly. You know, those are – listen, you're a team, you're trying to win. And if a player tells you, like, hey, I'm good to go, for most times that you take them at their word, like, hey, this guy wants to fight through whatever, and you allow them that opportunity, especially someone that's a first-round pick. So I think if they're guilty of anything, maybe they're guilty of not holding him back even if he said he was good enough to play. I think that's where their guilt might be in just saying, yeah, you say you are, and yeah, we could use you, but it would be better that we rested you. I think if they had any regret, it would be that.
Jeff, do you think if Najee is out, do you think it's a fait accompli that Jaylen Warren is the lead back, that he is the number one back? Or would it be Snell, and then Warren kind of keeps the role that he's used with Najee Harris as the number one back?
So if you look at the video that I put out today, you know, I think Jaylen Warren is the number two. I think would Benny Snell get carries? Sure. And, man, what Benny Snell did was awesome. I mean, here's a guy who's been playing hard on special teams. He finally got his chance. He ran hard. He hit the holes hard. You know, he's a one-cut guy that he doesn't dance around. You know, and at times that's hurt him because maybe he's missed a cut or two where he could have found a hole. But the guy, you know, listen, he faced some adversity and he's come through it. I would think he would get some carries, but I do think, as it stands right now, barring any setback for Warren, and he says he's cleared and good to go, that Warren would be the starting tailback.
Okay.
Could their performance, if that's a trio or a duo, and then maybe McFarland gets a little bit, do you think their performance at all, Jeff, or lack thereof, could affect how the Steelers handle Harris, that it might be somewhat dependent on what they're getting when he's not in the lineup? Like, as far as him coming back and them, like, either not rushing him back, you know what I mean,
right,
but being more cautious.
I mean, I would think so. What we've seen so far this year is that when Najee's healthy, Najee's going to play. You know, his touches have been limited a little bit, but I think that's been more by play calling than it has been not having him on the field. So I would see no reason to believe that at this point in the season that they would change that mindset, that they would limit Najee if he's ready.
Jeff, we have a new injury for T.J. Watt.
Yeah. Yes, we do have a new injury, and he was limited. Now, let me say this. Mike Tomlin said it yesterday that practice was going to be a little different because they played Monday night. And what we saw today was a little different. It wasn't all out full speed. So I don't want to read too much in limited practices by some of these guys. But yeah, I mean,
he put down the ribs for Watt.
Yeah. It's nothing that anyone, at least at this point, is concerned with. You know, as we were talking among our media group, you know, it doesn't seem like it's anything more than just, all right, let's just give him a little rest and make him limited. Not that the, I'm not saying the, he doesn't have sore ribs, but I don't think it's anything that's going to keep him out of the game on Sunday.
Did you think he looked like himself in that Colts game?
I think he faced a pretty damn good young tackle. No, he didn't. He didn't look like himself from that standpoint. But I think that tackle played a hell of a game. And you know, I think is he 100% yet? Probably not. And I think that goes back to the pec, knee, and now you know this thing with his ribs.
Jeff, are we to expect that the Falcons will have a kickoff return for a touchdown or something significant because Spillane and Boykin are still not completely healthy, and evidently from what Mike Tomlin told us yesterday, they can't cover kickoffs if Spillane and Boykin aren't healthy, even though they're paying TJ Watt's brother a bunch of money to, I guess, run down and make tackles in special team situations?
Listen, Patterson is really, really good. I would be shocked if this team, and people can rip Danny Smith all they want. Danny's been around the league a long time. He knows how to make adjustments. You know, they've got other guys on that unit that just didn't perform the way they needed to. I would expect them to be better. I wouldn't expect a duplication of that performance from that group on Sunday.
All right. Jeff, you going to go see Cocaine Bear in February when it comes out?
Yeah, do I have a ticket? I mean, I heard you guys invited Aditi, and she's looking for a sitter. I'm not willing to sit, but I'm willing to sit with you guys and watch it.
All right, we'll count you in.
Jeff Hathorn.
All right.
Steelers Insider has won awards, much like we expect Cocaine Bear to win several from the Academy. You know, we could probably just wait, and as members of the Screen Actors Guild, they might just mail us.
Chris Mueller invites everyone over for a big Cocaine Bear watch party.
They just would mail us the...
For your consideration.
For your consideration, please watch this movie as you consider the actors and the people involved in it for major, major, major awards.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.